Oh man.
Yay. We did it. We're live. Hello. Yeah. I think so. So I'm gonna double check in the group on the phones to make sure that I'm in the right group because you just never know. And I wanna make sure. We
Yeah,
could be
that's
talking
very
on personal
valid.
pages.
Very valid.
You know. We could just be live in any group and that's okay. We're gonna
Just
figure it
showing
out.
up in some random group for keto people.
Oops. Y'all are not gonna like this so much.
Yeah.
Oh, we got it. Okay, perfect. Okay, good. All right, we got it. Yay. Okay, so guys, hi. If y'all are here, say hi, drop us a comment. You might have to click the link again, so if we call you out for it, sorry, we don't know when they're expiring, but we'll do our best. We'll give it a shot. So we're here with Coach Tasha.
Hello, guys.
I love it on the other coast. Oh, there we go. Jonathan said you're live. Hooray. I've never gotten to click the comments. Oh, I got to click the comment today.
Ooh,
I love it.
so
It's fancy.
fancy.
I know. This is the first time
Very
I'm playing
fancy.
with this system. I love it. I'm fancy.
Yeah,
So
take
yeah,
it.
guys, if I click things and it's off or it takes me a minute to figure it out, Jonathan usually runs the clicking. So I'll get there. I'll figure it out eventually. We'll work it together. It's okay.
Figure
Yeah.
it out.
Nell's here.
Hello, darling.
Hey. I don't know why we don't have a picture for you. I have your name, but no picture. I can't pretend to understand technology and Facebook, so guess
Girl.
not. Coach Amy's here.
Hello, dumpling.
Love nuggies. We're gonna get all the love nuggie hugs very soon.
So soon.
It's coming 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Shoot. Oh, I'm so excited.
Danielle Masters here. Hello.
Hello, darling.
Who we got? Stephanie.
Hey, girl.
Hi, girl.
Hey.
Jonathan had to come in and clarify. I run shit. Who'd have thunk it?
I have opinions.
That's all you get from there. Nothing else for you. All right, sir. All right, guys, if you're here, say hi. Let us know. If you have questions while we're doing this, drop a Q in front of it in here so that we can see it or I can search it because we have a fancy search feature. So let us know if you have questions and we'll try to get to them. We have a couple things to talk about today. I don't see Kelly in here yet. Kelly Mulder asked a question, so we'll hit that first. Ooh, we got more people. Bobby's here. You made it.
Bobby.
Yes. Bobby, you need to get the crew down here for some burritos again. Burrito
I am always in support of burritos.
Yes. Corey's waiting for hugs. Hello. I'm excited.
All of the hugs.
Monica's here. Hello.
Hey, baby.
It's looking like all ladies so far, and Jonathan.
And
So,
Jonathan.
you
It's
girls are
worth
gonna be.
it.
Yeah, he's always the single guy here. You guys are going to be excited then, ladies, because we have a topic for technically for the ladies in the group in particular. Kelly Mulder asked a question, just kind of a generic question that we're going to dig into a little bit. So Kelly wanted us to talk about oh, I got one more comment. Oh, Heath. Is Heath here too? Okay, good. I can only see who's commenting so far, so
Right on.
let me see. Oh, I'm being told Techmaster, slide some volume down. I don't know if I can slide your volume. I can try. Let me try.
I can also back away and
Hey.
speak up loudly.
Oh, you're good. I'm gonna slide it down. So now sit forward where you were and talk, and we'll see.
How's about now?
Jonathan, is that better? Old Techmaster slave driver Jonathan. Let me know, Jonathan, or anybody else. Is Tasha still yelling? Oh, Nell said,
Nancy, loud
she said,
talking.
yeah, right? I mean, at least we're not Nancy Bruger yelling, right? Like, I mean, all right, now I called you Nancy Bruger. That's fine. Nancy McGowan and Tasha Bruger, if we put them together,
Together, we make one
ooh,
loud talking.
a lot of energy. I love it. How fun would that be? Nell said, I'm tagging to
That
wake him up. He said he was gonna try and stay awake. Oh, listen, girl, he's busy. So if he's busy, he can catch the replay if he wants. And this first question is directed particularly at our ladies, so he's not missing anything just yet.
Just
Jonathan said, solid. If you guys hear Pork Chop crying in the background, it's storming and thundering, and he's the biggest baby ever. So he's shaking and whining in the corner.
What a
He's fine.
puppy.
Yeah. The thunder's coming to get him. Trisha's here.
Thunderbird.
You found us. You did find us.
Hello, darling. Oh, didn't speak so loud.
You're fine. I was told you're all good now, so you can talk at your normal loud volume.
Standard.
Bobby said, all good. Perfect. Oh, I'm awake now. Facebook user. This must be Heath. We'll get you to click the link later. Oh, we got a pork chop. I know. Guys, he's fine. He has a thunder shirt, but even putting it on, he still shakes and he whines. So it's not really. I mean, I think maybe he was left outside when he was a puppy and it was
Yeah.
storming because he's got like an irrational fear of thunder. So
Yeah.
he'll be okay. We'll cuddle him.
Yeah.
Chop actually is going to get friends tomorrow. So we
So.
have, yes, we have a friend in town. Badass black belt in town, and she is going to Disney for the first time with her boyfriend. So when they come down, they bring their dogs with them, and they've got two pit bulls and a Lhasa Apso. And Chop absolutely loves their babies. They needed somebody to watch them, so they're bringing all three dogs to my house tomorrow for the
Naturally.
entire day.
So
So
fun.
he'll cry now, but he'll be fine tomorrow. It'll be okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
Okay, I think we got everybody in here. Good deal. So, guys, if you are a dude and you're in here, sorry, we're gonna talk hormones, female hormones for just a minute. But hold tight, we got more questions. So,
yeah.
Kelly Mulder asked if we could talk about hormones and periods specifically and how they impact pretty much everything as a whole. So she kind of wanted to know, hey, is there some way you can touch on cycles and the way they affect training and your mood and your hunger and things like that? So we're gonna kind of get into it and just do like a broad overview. You hear Jonathan say it depends a lot. This is another one of those. We're not all the same. We are all so super different. Your hormone levels are different. Your lifestyle and your situations are different. Your routine is different. So this is not going to affect everybody the same. But as far as generalities go, let's just start with training and cycles because that's kind of the easiest one to get into, and from there it gets a little more in depth. She wanted to know, as far as training, does training get tweaked or changed when you're on your cycle? That's very, very individual for people, I think, and it depends on how bad your symptoms are, whether you get a lot of pain or a lot of bloating, things like that. I will say that, yeah, for me, my training intensity backs down. I may not want to put a weight belt on or go for a run, especially in the summer right now, where I have to work really hard if I'm in pain or not feeling so great. So for me, training changes quite a bit, and really it's one of those, listen, I know today, tomorrow maybe, things are not going to be perfect. My training is not going to be as awesome as I want it to be, and that's okay because I don't feel good. But I'm going to go and do what I can. I'm going to move. Sometimes a little blood flow and moving your body helps. If you're one of those that needs days off and you cannot train at all and you don't feel like you can move, take them. Do whatever you need. Having 2, 3 days, even a week off of training is not going to impact you so badly that you can't get right back to it. People have this idea that, like, if I don't train for the week, I'm gonna lose all my gains and my muscle's gonna go away and I'm gonna get super fat, and it's not like that. Your body needs rest and recovery, especially when your hormones are trying to womp you. So sometimes you gotta say no. I'm not gonna do that. Maybe I'm gonna go for a walk. Maybe I'm gonna take a nap and take a bunch of Motrin and lay with a heating pad. Yeah. So it just
Sometimes
depends on,
you like
yeah. So I don't know, Tasha, does your training change at all?
that. It does. I find I so as I have slimmed down, so as my body composition has changed, the way that my cycles run has changed. They used to be much heavier and much more painful, and so they kind of laid me out. And then as I slimmed down, I went through a phase of having much lighter periods, and much less severe symptoms. And in fact, I was finding that I was actually stronger. I could lift more weight, on my period, and I would joke all the time, like, oh, I'm just super ragey, like, everything.
I'm rage lifting.
Yeah. And that, like, recently in the last few months, ooh, I moved the whole table, getting heavier again. And so this is, again, just, you know, as things change, as your body composition changes, you just got to be willing to roll with it. I think the most important thing is taking this, like, honest assessment of yourself as you are, you know, looking at what your training plan is for the day. You know, I often find myself wanting to be like, oh, the first day of my period, what I should do is take a nap. And then actually being like, I actually don't feel bad, you know, or, you know, and so, and not just assume that what you need is rest or assume that you shouldn't try and hit it, you know, but honestly assess yourself, and to see, you know, what you're actually looking like. You know, the fact of the matter, sloughing off the lining of your uterus is a ton of work. Like, that's just a ton of work for your body to do. So, you know, sometimes, yeah, it's going to lay you out and you're gonna be like, I'm just so tired.
Yeah,
that's okay. You know? But like you're saying, you know, if you're in that honest assessment, it's like, no, what I need is a nap or I need a gentle walk. You're not losing your gains. You're not going to catastrophically throw a rock in. You know, you're not causing catastrophic engine failure, to, you know, what you're trying to do. But on the other hand, you know, it's not a free for all, like, we're not diving headfirst into the Oreos either.
No.
So it's just about, you know, being willing to really kind of check in head, heart, body, uterus. What do you need?
What do I really need right now? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're the same way. Like, hey, how do I actually feel? What do I actually need, and what's going to make the difference between crushing myself and making it worse and actually feeling better?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Monica said, I lift angrier.
I feel like the last three PRs for back squats, I have been on my period and I've been like, well, I mean, this feels not awesome, but the weight is moving. So
if it's coming up and you're doing it safely, hey, yeah, go for it, man.
Yeah.
Everybody is so different. And we'll talk about that. We're going to get into weight swings in the scale in a minute. And that's another one. We're so different as far as how that goes. Stephanie said, I find personally the training actually helps my symptoms subside, whereas when I'm sick, I don't train. Okay, so that's a good point. So yes, your cycle is work for your body. Yes, your muscles are a little angry. Things are cramping and contracting. Depends on how bad your symptoms are. If blood flow in the area helps relax your muscles, then yeah, it's going to feel better. And Tasha, you said your PRs have all likely been during your cycle. So you might be stronger, feel stronger. Some women find that training takes a dump the week before. Some are the week of. There are some even that are the week after. Your phases and the way they shift are so personal to you that it's just about sitting with yourself and going, man, what? How do I actually feel right now? Not looking for, like, well, scientifically, you should not train on the first day of your cycle because what does that matter if that is not you? You know, it's, there is no average for this. It's kind of, well, how do you feel? Let's sort that out. Val's here. She just came in.
Val. And that's, you know, I like to take my notes in my Fitness Pal. So we talk about, you know, log your exercise in the exercise thing, but there's the little spot to take notes. And I'll, you know, write down, oh, you know, lifting felt great today. Oh, my mood was terrible, but, you know, the deadlifts felt really powerful. Oh, I did a Metcon and I flew, you know. And even if, you know, you're not sharing that with your coach, but, like, you can go back and you start to be able to notice those patterns. And, you know, ideally you have a regular cycle. So you can be like, oh, you know, hey, it's been 3.5 weeks. The crazy's about to hit. But it doesn't, you know, but at least you can, you start to be able to, you know, project or, you know, notice your patterns. Again, not necessarily in touch with, you know, your hormones, but it's all connected. So,
yeah. And that's ideally, yeah, we'd all be regular. Is that what typically happens? Nah, Not really. And I'm finding every year that goes by and every year older I get, man, that crap changes fast, man. There are some months it's terrible, and then sometimes, you're like counting days and you're like, what is this 17? And then what is this 29? And I'm like, I don't 37. You're like, what? Things are just not normal. And there's a lot of women, right, who have PCOS or endometriosis, or who have had partial or full hysterectomies, people who have hormone issues already, thyroid issues complain to that. There are so many things that complain to your hormones and how they change and how they're impacted. So, yes, being regular would be nice. Is that true for most of us? No, not usually, especially with like stress right now, because this whole last year has been stress city. So, I would not be surprised if you lead a super stressful life if you are not regular. That's common. Your body doesn't like to be stressed, and it will tell you.
It'll tell you.
Yep.
Hey girl, do less of this thing that you're doing. Well, no, body, I would love to do less of it, but that's just not in the cards right now, so.
Your body gives you flags, right? Yellow flags, red flags. It will throw flags in your face, whether you choose to listen to them or
Flags.
not. Right. Like, I picture like the soccer refs that are like waving the flags,
Yeah,
yellow card.
mad as hell.
Body's angry pulling out yellow cards. Yeah, man, you gotta listen to it. Yeah, Nell said time to get in tune with our bodies. Yeah, I
Yes.
mean, we can't predict everything. We don't always know what's going on. You know when you don't feel great. You know when something is off. Do you know why? Maybe not. Do you realize it's your hormones before your cycle? Maybe not. Some people do, some people don't. It depends on how, it just depends on your body.
Yeah.
And how well you know it, basically. Mine's all over the place, so I can tell you I don't feel good, but that's about it. Nell said, my daughter's basic weights class had a journal component, and the questions were one, what's going on with my body today? Two, how did I feel before lifting? And three, how did I feel after lifting? That's awesome.
I love
That
that.
is like next level
I
weightlifting
love
class right there. Yeah.
that.
I feel
Thank
like we should
you.
all be doing this, like if you're struggling or
Thank you.
you just really like to take detailed notes, I like this.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm with you, Tasha. So I take notes. I write notes. I send them to my coach. My where I put my feedback from my training goes directly into my workout. So I just put exactly how I feel. I put it there so that one, I can see and go back and read as kind of a journal for myself. And I put it there for him. And my coach is a dude, my training coach, and I'll straight tell him, hey, period, hormones. And he knows. That is what it is. If the weights were down, that's what it is. I feel like crap, just letting because he needs to know that maybe we're not going to push the rest of the week if I'm not feeling super great.
Right.
Yep. Monica, 37. Oh, girl, I've been all over the place. I have frequently skipped entire months. Yeah. So especially there are a couple things that lead to this. Really quickly before we get to the next section of this is deficits. If you're in a fat loss phase and you are at a point where you are lean enough that your body goes, we don't have enough fat to survive or bear children, it will stop your cycle temporarily. It shuts down those hormones because it doesn't need them and it needs to focus on surviving. So some of the downsides of being super, super lean messes with your hormones, which is why we're super careful how we run fat loss phases here, especially with our women. But yeah, stress, Monica, a lot of that was stress as well. It's been a stressful few years. So yeah, I'm one of those people that gets whomped by stress, and I'm never the same amount of days every month. So it's funsies.
Super funsy.
Yeah. So we were also talking with Kelly Mulder about the scale. This is, I don't want to say one of my favorite topics across the board, but the scale is one of my favorite topics, and I'll tell you why. I am one of those overreactive people. And I don't mean emotionally, I mean physically. My body can get swings like you have never seen. So tonight, for instance, we're eating popcorn. I will see 2 to 3 pounds on the scale tomorrow. Didn't go over my numbers, didn't do anything crazy. I ate popcorn. That's what happened. It just is what it is. When I get a period, and actually for me, it's twice a month. So when I ovulate and when I'm on my cycle, I bloat. About the same amount every time. So really there's like 1 to 2 weeks where my weight's normal. Also funsies. However, this is why we learn to look at the long term instead of the short term. 2, 3, sometimes 4 pounds if you have GI issues along with your cycle, because GI issues are normal. Whether it's constipation or diarrhea, whichever way you go, your GI is pissed off. Everything's swollen, your uterus swells up and gets mad and then contracts, and your intestines wrap right close to that uterine wall right there. So when everything's pissed off, your GI gets pissed. Yes, they're in there doing rock'em sock'em, you know? On top of that, your hormones do play a part in that. So as your estrogen goes up and your progesterone goes down and then they switch places, that does cause GI problems. There are hormonal triggers that happen. So that plays into a lot of holding on to extra crap, basically, in your GI usually, right? Yep.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yep. It also plays into water weight. Your hormones, progesterone and estrogen, are, they dictate your water weight. You know, there's one is a diuretic and one is not. So as your body shifts up with one and down with the other, you tend to hold. So if you are higher in estrogen, which happens during your cycle, you hold water weight. As your progesterone starts to come back up and it levels back out, progesterone is a natural diuretic. Progesterone is what balances back the estrogen. So as they start to come up and down and you get that flux, your body goes, oh, there's the progesterone that I was looking for. Time to stop the period and time to get rid of the water weight. These are the signals that start your cycle and tell your body when to do it and how to do it. So it's normal. They are actual hormonal responses when you hold water weight. So it's not just that your pants are tight and you're fluffy and you don't feel good. Girl, your hormones are trying to kill you. That's basically what this is, you know? It's just processes we have to go through. So, man, twice a month.
Yeah, there's a meme that's like the uterus is preparing, you know, it's like building a nursery.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, uterus, we're not having a baby this month. And it's like, what? And it rips down the walls and it's so mad. But it does this every month. So, that's accurate, you know?
It's like internal demolition. Ooh. Yep. I used to tell Jonathan, it's like aliens. You ever seen aliens? The alien like bursts out of the stomach. That's what I feel like. It's just gonna like.
Yep.
Sometimes it gets like that. Listen, we're gonna be honest. It is what it is. But
it is what it is. Yeah, I also have the big weight shifts. And you're what? You're 5'9", 5'10"?
5'9".
Okay, I'm 5'2". So like when I get a 3-pound weight shift, like you can see it on me, like you can see my face gets rounder. It is not just like the pants are tighter, like it's like, oh no, I can't wear those today, like it's not happening. It is what it is. It does help, once again, when you have taken the notes and you have the presence of mind to be like, this is not me. This is just my body doing what it's supposed to be doing. Makes it a little easier to not, you know, burn the house down.
But, a little bit. And we'll get it. We're gonna get into moods and cravings in just a little bit, in just a second. But so you're a big swing weight too. And yeah, that's a good point, is guys, height matters. I am 5'9". So yeah, when I get weight swings, I feel puffy, I look a little puffy, but it's not as dramatic as probably, you know, for you at 5'2". Mm-hmm. All of my 5-foot women, y'all probably feel it pretty hard if you get some weight swings. And yeah, it sucks, it's uncomfortable. Your fingers will get bloated, you know? Like, there's a day my ring won't fit, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Is it easy to freak out? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Is it going to be worth freaking out? No. And here's why. Because we just talked about this, your estrogen spikes up when you get into your cycle, right? To get your cycle to start and to get you through it. As you start to go through your cycle, your progesterone creeps back up and gets rid of some of that water. It's a natural diuretic. It starts to pull that water weight off and tell your body, hey, shut it down, cycle's over, move on to the next month. Let's say you swing up on the scale. So I get up and I see 3 pounds on the scale and I freak out because I feel like crap and I want to eat all the things and fuck it, why not? Because I'm already heavy anyway, right? This is the way this backslides. screw it. I don't feel good. I'm bloated anyway. I don't fit in my pants anyway. So I'm just going to go eat whatever because it doesn't matter. Here's the problem. You go and you eat over your calories. You binge on Oreos. You do whatever. And then the progesterone kicks in, starts to pull that water weight off. But the water weight doesn't come off now. Why? Because you just ate a bunch of crap that now you are retaining. And that may not come off. So instead of trying to talk yourself through it, get into your logical brain, drink a crap ton of water, go grab the meat tea, eat all the sugar-free Jell-O, chew gum, whatever you have to do, you just went and packed a bunch of calories into yourself because you were eating out of being frustrated or angry or moody, whatever it is. And now you may have to live with those 1, 2, 3 pounds if you ate that much. That sucks. Right? So it's usually never worth it. Nope. It sounds really good. And then we talk about comfort foods. And this is kind of the next part is she asked about hunger and food when it comes to cycles. Yeah, man, you might crave chocolate. Do I think that it's a scientific response to something, your hormones? No, I don't think your hormones are making you crave chocolate. I think your hormones are making you miserable. And your comfort brain is looking for chocolate or whatever makes you happy. Hey, it makes me feel good when I get to eat these Oreos. It makes me feel good when I get to eat cereal, so I'm gonna eat the whole box. I feel good when I eat pizza. Jonathan's feel good is cheese, you know, like he'd mow down a block of cheese. So I don't necessarily think that it is like a craving for specific foods because your body needs something. I think it's like I'm craving comfort and craving relief from what I'm going through, and you're turning to those foods that used to bring that to you. But girl, after you do it, it is almost, and I will give it almost, 99.9% of the time, not worth it. Yep. Because I have had women go, yeah, man, it felt good. How's 3 chocolate bars? And I'm happy and I'm fine. Cool, man. If you're happy, you accept the outcome, you took care of that craving and you are not regretting any of your choices, we're here for that, but the majority of the time, that does not happen. And then we get into fighting those 1, 2, 3 pounds that you put on and can't get off, right? So I don't know, Tasha, how do you manage cravings or hunger when you get into that kind of moody kind of frustration?
Well, and I get hungry the week before my period. So if I'm on a fairly regular cycle, I have the presence of mind to be like, man, I'm just so freaking hungry. What's going on? Oh, next week is Shark Week. Okay. And then, you know, I can talk myself down and then I can, you know, try to find the balance of voluminous foods that are going to help me feel full. But then also I do want the chocolate because it makes my heart happy. So like, okay, I will try to plan in 2 Oreos or, you know, whatever the case is. We've talked about before, you know, knowing yourself. If you are the kind of person that can keep Oreos in the house, great, awesome. If you are not the kind of person that can keep Oreos in the house, then it might be, oh, I really need some Oreos in my life. Okay, I'm going to the grocery or to the gas station to get the little 1 pack of 2. Yeah. So that I'm not sitting there with 84 other Oreos calling my name. You know, that's knowing yourself. When life and stress are pretty okay, like right now, I've got a box of Oreos in there. It's okay. It was from that bacon thing that John Congemi did. I'm being okay with it, right? If life gets crazier and I start to feel less in control, I'm putting them in the trash because I know myself. And again, you know, I would love to tell you that, you know, there's a hack or there's a way to stay ahead of it. You know, it's just really honest decisions with yourself about what you can and can't handle, you know?
Yeah.
And it's no right or wrong.
There are people that can eat 1 Oreo and that satisfies their craving and they can nurse that sucker for 20 minutes. And I'm with you. I'm not that person. And I'll be honest, I'm not that person when life is good. I want to eat the Oreos. I want to eat the cake. I'm not a slice of cake person. I'm the whole cake person. So yeah. I know that I cannot control myself. And the problem is I'm a 1-bite person. So I take that first bite and it is all fair game from there. It is down. Yep. I go right down that slope, and I refuse to let myself go down there. I can't. I have been there before, and it sucks. I regret it for me 100% of the time. There's never been a time I've done it that I went, yeah, man, made me feel better in the long term. Never. Mm-hmm. It didn't fix anything. So, yeah, got to know yourself. If you really can sneak in a couple Thin Mints, a couple Oreos, go for it, dude. Get the chocolate. Make yourself feel better. And then make sure you're eating all the veggies and the volume the rest of the day so that you're hungry and not starving and dying at the end of the night.
Yeah.
I think we had a few people. Let's see. Oh, Bobby said, you ladies rock. Gotta go. Hubs made burgers. Ooh, burgers.
Enjoy, girl.
Yeah, man. Stephanie Hostetler said, with cravings, I did some reading, and the conclusion was menstruation can lead to increased magnesium loss, which causes sugar cravings, and magnesium deficiency can increase sugar. Okay. So, is this true? Maybe. I don't know. I have not read an actual peer-reviewed study on this. And what I mean by that is a study that has been done over a certain period of time with a certain period of professionals reviewing and confirming the information. I've not read an actual peer-reviewed study of this. Is it possible? Yeah, you probably get all kinds of wonky vitamin deficiencies, you know, and mineral deficiencies during your period. I don't know. What I do know is that I've not ever felt better eating anything else. So no matter what food it was, if it was chocolate or Hal's down a bag of blueberries, ate whatever, I don't know. There was no food source that really made it better for me. So maybe that's a personal thing. However,
I was gonna say I have had the times where I've been like, man, I set myself back, but I own that decision, and I, in this moment, you know, and so again, you know, it's being able to be honest with yourself and honest with future you, you know.
And you know that about yourself. So if you know it's coming, you can get ready for it. Mm-hmm. If it happens and you start, then the question is, can I stop this cycle? Because that is another hard thing to do. Cravings happen. Maybe you give into it. How do you stop it and stop digging the hole? Because that is one of the hardest places to recover from. This is why I try never to get in that position. If I never have to stop and dig myself out, it's going to be easier for me, because there ain't no digging out for me. That day that it happens, I've done this and I've touched the stove years and years and years ago. Haven't done it since because I hated that feeling. I hated myself after. I hated that I felt even worse because now I was bloated and regretting it and still felt like crap because I still had hormones. You know, it's just, you got to know yourself and know what's going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Nell, accurate. I'm not allergic to chocolate. I just don't like it and I never crave it at all. Well, man, that's awesome, I guess. I mean, you got to watch whatever cravings you do have, because we all have favorite foods. We all crave something. Maybe you don't, and that's fantastic. I mean, you know, as far as trying to control your food intake, that may be a really cool thing. But yeah, I'm definitely not on team don't crave chocolate, but
I crave chocolate. I crave all of the carby, warm, gooey, refried beans, mashed potatoes, like warm and soft on the palate.
We just talked about comfort foods.
Yeah.
So Ian got in on this. I'm not sure he realized it was about periods initially, and that's okay. I pound crushed ice in a blender first, 300 grams of broccoli, then brush my teeth, and then 100 push-ups. If I still have a craving, then I've paid the price. I've never after that wanted more food. It's always something else driving it. That is a huge point. Yep. Ian, I want to say you came down here and said, yep, not that I have a period. I have my own issues with anemia and allergies. So, yeah. So, Ian, it goes towards cravings. Like, is your craving really for food? I don't know, because that's a lot of work, eating a bunch of ice and eating a bag of broccoli and doing 100 push-ups and still wanting to eat something. What are the chances that's going to happen? Probably slim to none. Right. Chances are I'm not going to make it through the 100 push-ups and I'll be sleeping on the floor. If they're that bad, you know, it's like, right, I'll be my little pity party on the floor. I mean,
that's something we've talked about too. Like, you know, is this going to make me feel better? Probably not. But you know what might? A nap. you know, and then there's no regrets, you know. So maybe the answer is not, you know, dive headfirst into the ice cream, but dive headfirst into the bed and, you know, see how you feel when you wake up.
Yep, see if that helps. See if you still crave it. Guys, if you try all of these things and you take a nap or you do 100 push-ups or you go for a walk or you sit on your hands or you just straight decide that the outcome is worth the decision and you're happy about it, not just that moment or that day, but the week later, the 2 weeks later, the 3 weeks later, if you're still happy with those decisions and you feel good about them, we 100% support that. We support you. We support whatever decisions make you happy. Mm-hmm. The key here is figure out whether you'll be happy in the long term, because it's easy to go, damn, those Oreos are going to make me feel so much better right now and I'm going to be happy. Maybe until you're done eating them, and then maybe not. Figuring that out is huge. Will Marie said, I'm not sure if Danielle Frisbee is here, but her motivational morning posts have carried me through my morning weigh-ins. Aww.
And that makes my heart happy.
Yeah, man. Guys, I tell this story a lot. I know that people tend to look at really any of the coaches and go, well, it's easier for you guys because you've been doing it forever, or it's easier because, you know, you have so-and-so. I have Jonathan at home to do this with. Well, it's easier because whatever. I get on the scale every morning like everybody else. And some mornings I hop off and I'm happy about the number and it affects my attitude. Some mornings I get on the scale and we're right next to the wall. The scale is like right in front of the wall and Jonathan will hear this big thud because I get on the scale, I get frustrated and I whack my head on the wall out of frustration. And then I get off and I'm bummed for a little bit and then I move on with my day. So that doesn't change. We're not immune to this. Like, the coaches don't get on a scale and just go meh and write it down no matter what it says, right? Like, it's not just okay. It's always something. There's always going to be an emotion attached to it. But that's cool that Danielle's posts are making your, you know, your weigh-ins easier and getting you through your morning. So get on your scale and then go read her post. Make it a great day. I like it.
I love it.
Yep. Will Marie said, training helps me as well. I just have to actually get started. Then it's all good. Yeah, and take that step.
Yeah, Jonathan talks about, let me get through one set. That's when I'm not a runner.
Yeah.
And I will occasionally do the thing where, you know, all right, I'm supposed to run 30 minutes and I don't feel like running. But if I run 10 minutes and I still don't feel like running, then I can stop and I've run 10 minutes. But very rarely do I run the 10 minutes and then I'm like,
you just keep going.
I finish the thing and then I'm like, yeah, I get the thing, you know,
just one more minute and, you know, you just keep adding up. Jonathan brought up a good point. Magnesium is a smooth muscle relaxer. It is. Magnesium is what you take to help you poo. So a deficiency could compound problems with menstruation. My suggestion would be supplemental magnesium, not sugar. Go to what the thing does. Fix the problem with the thing and don't grab the sugar just because you think you're craving sugar. Or you read an article that says that you might actually crave sugar from that. So this is actually probably a really good point.
Yeah.
Magnesium deficiency could cause problems if it relaxes those smooth muscles and things don't contract and operate it the way they should. Amy said, I think there's a big difference between listening to your body and honoring your body. Listening, I'd be pounding a Snickers bar, chilling on the couch. Honoring it, hitting my plan and my workout.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah. Go with that. Honor your body. Don't just listen to it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's something we talk about. I talk to a lot of my girls about, you know, the body is still kind of dumb, right? The body has not registered that we no longer live in a cave, that there's lions outside, that, you know, so it's, you know, when we're stressed out, you know, because the boss is giving us a new, you know, deadline or whatever, the body does not know that it's still safe and that this is just like mental stress. It doesn't know the difference. So that's where we have to take that extra step past our lizard brain that's just trying to survive. And it's like, give me the sugar, give me the magnesium. This is the only way to get this. And being like, oh, I'm feeling this way because X. So rather than do Y, let me actually honor my body by giving it what it needs, not what it thinks it wants. In the same way that we do that for our small children. And we say, I know what you want to eat is Pop-Tarts and, you know, chocolate until forever. You know, what you need is, sometimes we have to take our steps past our lizard and our monkey brains and say, okay, I'm an adult and I'm going to treat my body in a way that serves my highest interests.
Your body can talk you into a lot of crazy things. Your brain. Your brain can talk you into a lot of crazy things. That lizard brain will tell you you need all the chocolate. You need all that stuff until you give your logical brain a minute to kick in. Yeah. And that's even harder when you feel like crap. Gotta be honest.
Yeah.
Bobby said, my body is a complete bobo.
Girl said.
Bobby, you've been through a lot of... You've been through a lot of things with hormones and thyroid and a lot of issues going on, but you are here and you're doing the thing and you're not letting it control the decisions you make. So I'm going to call that a win any day.
All day.
Yep.
All day.
For sure.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, guys, as far as cycles go, training depends on how you feel. We talked about that. Food, as far as cravings, you might be craving comfort over actually craving food sources. Just depends. And that scale, we're not going to get back into, but swings on the scale are normal. Your hormones have a purpose in your body, and they do that.
And the desire to eat the scale into the next dimension does not diminish over time.
Nope.
It is just... part and parcel to this long journey.
It doesn't go away. What changes is you learn to logically think through things. Yeah. Hey, how long am I going to let this impact me? Maybe today it's 3 minutes. Maybe tomorrow or the next week or the next month, it'll only be 2.5 minutes. Maybe I'll only get mad for a minute. How long you're going to live in your own pity party is your choice. You get to choose that, but you have to actually physically, emotionally choose that. And move away from those feelings.
Yeah.
And that's on, you know, that's on every individual person.
Absolutely.
All right. So I think we hammered on some period stuff. Kelly, if you're in here and you have any other questions, go ahead and ask them. Hopefully you catch the replay on this if you're not. So the next topic, I'm going to let Coach Tasha start the next topic off that we're going to chat about.
Oh, okay. So we are talking about the lenses through which we see the world and through which we see ourselves. Because often they are not the same. Often we are looking at the world around us through a lens that has been built by our upbringing, by the people around us, by our childhood traumas, by our childhood triumphs, all of the things. Maybe you were a childhood athlete, so you are just used to doing all the things, or maybe you weren't. All of that stuff builds the lens with which you look out into the world and see it around you. And that is a lot easier for everyone to intellectualize that that's happening. Like, it's a lot easier to look out and see that that person's an asshole, and then you can be like, oh, well, you know, maybe they're not actually an asshole, and this is just me, you know, growing up where I grew up, and you know, blah 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 blah. It's a lot easier to recognize that that's happening when you are looking outward, but when you are looking inward, it can be a lot more challenging to register the filters that you're operating with and that you are working through. It's often a lot harder to register when we are the asshole. That the good news is that everyone has a harder time registering when they're the asshole. The bad news is that everybody has a harder time registering when they're the asshole. But so much of that, what am I trying to say? That can be combated primarily by hiring a coach who is going to have your best interest in mind, regardless of whether you're being an asshole or not. You know, their goal is your best interest, and that has nothing to do with your ability to stick to the plan or not. They're saying, okay, here's where we're at, here's where we're trying to be. Okay, you know, they're your GPS, and they are unbiased. They're, you know, they can check out as far as any of that emotional stuff. Oh man, I kind of already lost where I was going with that.
So what we're talking about here, because there are a lot of ways this could go as far as lenses and how you view people or situations or the world or whatever. The thing is, yeah, we're all going to view it differently because we're different people. We didn't grow up the same way. We didn't have the same environment. We don't have the same interactions. We didn't have the same career or school life, whatever it is. We're not in the same places now, right? We're all in different boats, all in a boat, just different sizes and shapes and forms. So yeah, how you view something is very much based on how you have developed as a human, as a person, mentally, emotionally, intellectually. All of this plays into that. So that's hard. It's really hard to look at yourself and go, damn, I was being an asshole. Like, I was straight viewing it from my lens, through my point of view, right? Because this kind of ties into, like, point of view. So for anybody who's thinking about lenses, you're viewing something from your own point of view because you're viewing it through your own lens, right? Just so we don't get that confused. So, yeah, I go and I'm an asshole to Coach Tasha. And she comes back and she's like, hey, man, this not right. You're incorrect. And you're being kind of an asshole. Right? Now it's my turn to go, man, was I really being an a-hole and not looking at this from any kind of outside perspective? Or was I really not truly being an asshole? You know, like, it's up to you to have to take that onto yourself and figure that out. And that's hard. People don't like to admit that they were, whatever it was, closed-minded or not being objective, can't be objective with themselves, which is the majority of us. Absolutely. Nobody wants to admit that they were an asshole. That's hard. That sucks. But Tasha, you and I and Amy actually just had the conversation the other day. We had a bunch of conversations and we were like, hey man, I like that we can talk about stuff. And I have an opinion and you have an opinion and they're not the same opinion and they may not be at the end of the day. But hey, high five, we're cool. Thanks for talking it out. You know, like, we still talk through it. We're like, yeah, man, I like you. Thanks for talking to me, you know? And it may change your point of view. So, but damn, that's tough.
It really is. And, you know, I to recognize, you know, as we're talking about, you know, lenses, I'm gonna take this to a very literal, you know, idea here. You know, if you are out on, you know, you guys are all in Florida, so you're, you know, out of the beach, you're looking out at the water and you don't have any sunglasses on. Like, the water's going to look a certain way. And then you put sunglasses on, it's going to look different. And maybe you'll be seeing different shapes that you didn't see before because now you've got this lens that is providing you some filtering of the light. There's something there those shapes were there before, you know, but you lacked the capacity to see them because you had no lens and now you have a lens, or now you've got pink sunglasses on that are changing it. And so now, you know, and you know, we recognize, like, as we're literally taking off sunglasses and putting on different ones, like, it's going to change what you can see. And so the ability to recognize that, you know, I was raised in a clear your plate household. I think I've told the story. My grandma told me when I was a little girl that when I died and went to heaven, I would not be let in until I went back and ate all the food I had ever left on a plate. So, like, my little Catholic heart was like, I want to go to heaven. Gotta eat all the food. You know, that's a filter that I have to carry and go, you know, as I'm sitting here and being like, I know I've had enough. It's easy to plate my food for what I'm actually eating at home, right? But if I'm out and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have half of this sandwich, I know that I've got that filter. I know the best thing I can do for myself is ask for a box as soon as my stuff gets here. So I can take half of that, whatever it is, put it in the box, it's closed. That way, my filter sees my plate and it's clear, and I am getting into heaven. You know, like,
But you made it work for you. Like
precisely.
you tweaked it in a way that you could still work with that lens and that filter, and you didn't have to fight it, and it still works for your goals. That's pretty damn
Yeah.
cool.
It's, you know, and it's one of those, like, I would love to, you know, be one of those people that can just like leave a ton of food on the plate. And it's been getting close to like 5 years now. If it hasn't happened yet, it's probably not going to. And that's okay. That's my filter. That's something I have to carry. And that's, I think that's really, in as much as is as important as recognizing your filters, recognizing how to work with them and not necessarily against them. Like there's a, you know, yes, we all want to grow and we all want to be better and we want to, you know, exist in a more holistic life. But the reality of the situation is, often it's less about what you can like willpower your way through and like what ways can you just make it suck less for yourself, you know? But again, that the first step to that is like, how am I an asshole? How am I sabotaging myself? And again, you know, so many of these filters, like no one woke up and was like, I'm going to traumatize this child. Like, you know, like no one does that, but these are the things we carry. And
These are the things we carry, man, and you touched on it. You touched on this is why we have coaches. Guys, this is why all of our coaches have coaches, because we all have filters and lenses, and we all see things the way we want to see them, and your brain can trick you into seeing things any way it damn well pleases. And you can talk yourself into a lot of stuff. This is why we have coaches, so that you have that objective outside. Maybe they have a different lens, or they don't have the lens that you do. And they see the facts versus the feels. They see, hey, I understand what you're saying and I hear you, but this is what the reality is, right? So that's why we have coaches for things. So that is directly why we trust other people, so that our own filters don't get in the way of our progress and we don't see through whatever pink colored lenses we have on and make decisions that might not be the best for us because we can't see without that filter.
absolutely.
Yep.
It is.
Let's see, we got a lot of comments. Stephanie, my lenses. I love you.
I do too. We should bring some of
That's
those to the
awesome.
reunion.
We should. Oh, with the
Mm-hmm.
mustache too? Oh yes, I gotta find some of those. Monica said, she laughed and she said, I thought you were gonna go with giving yourself grace and you went with be aware you're an asshole. So I'm not going to deep dive into this topic. But giving yourself grace is the biggest trigger for me ever as far as a statement, because it is so far overused and in the wrong context, it's a dangerous thing for a lot of people, especially when we talk about nutrition goals, training goals, life goals, whatever it is you have. There is a very fine line between giving yourself grace once in a while and giving yourself so much room that you F everything up. So giving yourself grace does mean that. Oops, I had an oopsie, and I'm gonna give myself some grace for it because of whatever was going on. If you find yourself saying that more often than not, every couple days, every week, every couple weeks, you might need to actually dive a little deeper into why things are happening, because there is a point where you are no longer giving yourself grace, you're allowing yourself excuses. That's all I'm going to say about it, because it's a big trigger for me, just because I think that it is overused and misused. And I think that there is a balance, and we need to find it, and we can't always just lean on, I made a little boo-boo, gonna give myself some grace. Doesn't mean it's not okay when it is true and when it does matter and when it means something, but watch saying that one.
Well, I think that's actually kind of like the point is like, okay, here's grace, but am I an asshole? Am I just using that as an option? You know, because, you know, and it's, again, that's that honesty with self. Honesty with self over everything. Because if you're lying to yourself, we can't do anything for you. We cannot do anything for you if you are lying to yourself. Things are hard. Like, life is hard.
Life is hard. Life is hard. Anybody who doesn't say that is lying. Life is hard. Life is not perfect for anybody. Nobody lives in a bubble, in a vacuum, in a perfect little controlled life. Doesn't matter what their life looks like. Nobody lives in a perfect life. Yeah, that shit is hard. But you get to choose whether you're being an asshole or whether you really are giving yourself a little leeway because something legitimately happened. So, yeah, I mean, that plays right into this. Maybe you have a giving myself grace lens. Maybe you are unable to detect what is actually now an excuse because it has turned into this big thing. I don't know. You know, that is the hardest thing to do, to look at yourself and figure out what you're actually saying and what the truth of it actually is. That was a good point. I like that you said that, Monica. She's like, yeah, that actually is the actual point right now. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, I've posted something that, you know, was like, you will get dirty in the digging into yourself and your, you know, your motivations and your lenses and all of that. Like, it is not for the faint of heart. It is a lot easier to just be like, life is hard and I'm doing my best. And, you know, like, and we know those people, right? And I'm not here to bash those people. Like, man, sometimes we are just doing our best. Sometimes our best fucking sucks. Like, sometimes the best we've got in the tank is not awesome. It's objectively
it's just not enough. Awesome. Yep.
You know? But, you know, if we are coming to the table and being honest with ourselves and saying, what is my best right now? I'm going to do my best, whatever that is. And, oh, look, I've got a little bit of extra bandwidth. Let me dig in. Let me see. Okay, in what way am I being an asshole right now? And the answer is there's probably some. Like, I don't know anyone who's not an asshole to themselves or in spite of themselves, at least some of the time, you know?
And it doesn't always register as like the normal asshole moments. Like Ian raised his hand and he said asshole. So Ian is very, I don't want to say outwardly an asshole, but you are very outwardly present and loud and verbal and, you know, and you are opinionated and there's nothing wrong with that. You're recognizing that, yeah, sometimes maybe you're a little forward with people. Cool, man. If you're happy with that and you like it, awesome, do it. If you're recognizing that maybe sometimes there is a point where you might have been a little bit of an a-hole, you might have should have backed it down, that's growth. You can take it the next time and change it, and maybe you don't go that far the next time.
Yeah.
My asshole story for me personally. So when I got together with Jonathan, I had never dated someone who was actually a communicator, someone who actually wanted to talk and point out personal character flaws. Like, hey, this is not really cool. Like, you probably should work on this about yourself. I dated guys who were puppy dogs. You know, they follow you around. They don't say anything. They don't change you. You make all the decisions.
Yeah.
So Jonathan was the first one who was like, you know, when I did something, he was like, I mean, that's kind of like a kind of a big character thing, you know, like, yeah, maybe you want to look at that. What it was is I immediately jumped to making excuses for things. And it's not out of a place of how can I get out of this? It's a place of like, he'd ask me a yes or no question. Hey, did you do this, these things I was supposed to do? Instead of saying just yes or no, I would start with, well, I started to, or I was going to, but then this happened and that happened. And I just wasn't sure. And he'd stop me every time, and he still does it. And he's like, hey, no, this is a yes or a no answer. It is a yes or a no. If the answer is no, I did not do this, then we can talk about why you didn't do it and how we can fix it. There was always something for me. It was always, No, I didn't. And the reason is because. Like, I had to back it up. And those are freaking excuses. Maybe they're reasons, but I would always stop and go, well, not yet. Or no, I didn't do it because. I didn't do it, but. I didn't do it, I was going to. No. I wanted to jump to every reason I didn't do something, every excuse why I didn't do it. I was not owning the fact that I did or did not do something. I didn't straight own it and then go into how can I do it? How can I fix it? So we're all assholes at some point as
For sure.
people, and sometimes we need to be called out on it, and sometimes we need to stop and actually work to change it because that shit is hard. It is
It's
really
hard.
hard to change a big part of your personality or character for whatever reason it developed. It's hard, but if you don't change, I mean, I don't know. If I keep giving Jonathan excuses for the rest of my life, then what? I don't know. I know it's gonna frustrate the crap out of him. It's not gonna be good for me, you know? Like, probably not gonna be a good way to go about things. Jessica came in and said, shit, I forgot I'm here now.
Hey girl, hey.
Hey, we hit both questions. That's okay, you're here. Hopefully you heard some of it or rewatch it. Kim said, I have a story I always tell when people notice how tiny my 8-year-old daughter is. My husband's twin is tiny, so I think she takes after her aunt. A month or so ago, I told that story, and the lady looked at me weird and said, your daughter is built exactly like you. I was literally stunned silent. I still see myself as 50, 70, 100 pounds heavier. That's a big lens. And I want to say, Tasha, you and I have talked about relating to ourselves as the people we used to be, as what we used to look like, who that made us become, how that made us feel and act and think and speak to others and ourselves, right? So,
Absolutely. And that's something I was so happy to meet Kim and Jamie when I was in Hawaii, because that was kind of something that we had talked about was, like you still think of yourself. I still think of myself as a big girl. And I, I'm with Kim here, like, and I went through puberty early. So I think of myself not just big this way, but also this way, because in my formative years, I was heads and shoulders above everyone else. Y'all, I'm 5'2", I'm not a big person, but I think I am. Like, I think I'm colossal. And sometimes that's a good lens to have. Sometimes I walk into a room and I'm like, what up, bitches? I'm the biggest person here. Sometimes that is advantageous for me. Sometimes it is very much so not. And so again, just being aware that in your mind's eye, you are still seeing yourself as maybe not what is physically there anymore. That's again, that's how am I being an asshole?
And that it might be being an asshole to yourself. You might still be locking your brain in that person you used to be. And you're not that person, and you don't have to be that person anymore.
Absolutely.
A lot of,
Absolutely.
a lot of the women in here that I was bigger, man. I was 50 to 55 pounds heavier than I am now. For anybody who didn't know, we weren't always in shape, all the coaches. We weren't
Oh,
always
yeah.
in shape. We didn't always look the way we do now. We didn't always track our food, you know. It's hard to change that mindset. Like, shit, they're taking pictures. I better hide myself. Hide myself in the background, or I'm not gonna stand up and be the center of attention because I never was. Tasha, you developed being the center of attention because you were the bigger person, and you developed a big personality with that. And you're right, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not.
Comes
Sometimes
up.
it sucks that I want to be quiet and hide behind the wall of people, you know? But you're not that same person. So it's crazy. The mental journey that comes with this is, it's
Yes.
big and it's hard
Is
some days. But Kim, how
absolutely.
cool is that, man? Like, you're realizing that people see you differently than you see yourself. And eventually, the hope is that you will start to see yourself as that person because you should. Might take a little
Absolutely.
longer. But people see you much differently than you think that you appear.
Absolutely. Stepping into that new identity of yourself.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a lot of the stuff that they don't talk about when you make giant life changes, because you're not just changing physically. You change everything about the
Absolutely.
way you feel and the way you think and maybe how you react to things and speak to people. It's insanity. And it takes a very long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Monica said, I refuse to make my kids clean their plates. It took me years to recognize my stop eating cues. Yeah. So kids know what they want to eat and they know how much they need to eat. Kids will eat till they're full. And we talk about this quite a bit. You'll see kids pick at their plates and then wander off and go do something and play and come back and pick at a plate, wander off. And a lot of people get frustrated with that and say, sit down and eat all your foods, down and eat all your food. And yeah, listen, you're in a restaurant. You don't want your kid wandering off, crawling on the floor, not eating their
Right.
food, right? Okay, so we're not saying every situation, but your kids know, hey, I'm hungry, I'm gonna eat a little bit. Ate half this sandwich, I'm gonna go run around until I'm hungry again. They will stop when they're full. They'll stop eating, and then they'll come back and eat when they need, or tell you they're hungry or thirsty or whatever. That's hard because, I mean, we were the same way. Eat all your food. You eat all your food, whatever it was. And then that carries over when you get to be a teen, an adolescent, an adult, and now you think you have to clean the plates where the plates are like servings for four separate people, and you're cleaning these plates, you know?
Nope.
I remember Jonathan and I started dating, and we used to go out to eat, and we would get something to share. So it would be sushi, and we would order like, you know, four or five rolls, and we'd share them all, and I would eat the same amount he did. I would eat half, and he would eat half because gotta eat all the food, and he doesn't want to eat more than me, and I'm, you know, gonna get half of it, and I damn sure didn't need to eat half of what he was eating. But finish it all, clean the plate. I am not gonna sit and look at sushi. I will tell you that for sure. I won't
Yep.
stare at sushi sitting on a plate, just like he probably wouldn't stare at French fries sitting on a plate in front of him. Yeah.
Nope.
No,
I'm
Monica,
with you.
that's huge. Learning to listen to what your kids need and watch them. Watch them when they eat, when they stop. Maybe you don't get
Yeah.
frustrated and tell them to finish the plate.
Yeah.
So then maybe
It's
they don't need a food coach later in life, you know?
here's to hoping that, I mean,
Yeah.
so much of what we're doing here is in fact trying to like break those. I know that like the current buzzwords is like generational curses. You can call it whatever you want. Like I like to call it the ways my parents fucked me up, and I'm trying not to fuck my kid up that way. Like, sure, I'm fucking them up other ways, but I'm doing my best. So
Your best, that's all you can do.
that's all we can do.
Bobby said, yep, it's odd. I think I look amazing in the mirror, but then I see my progress pic and see something different, trying to focus that lens. So that is like the reverse of what we were just talking about, right? So your lens in your head, when you look at yourself, maybe you see something other than what your progress pictures show. Does that matter? No. You're seeing yourself and the truth of yourself in both ways. You're just seeing them a little bit differently. Keep in mind, too, that progress pictures, those are tough. We tell
Those
you
are
guys to
tough.
take them in the morning. We tell them when, you know, you're tired. I try to take them in the worst lighting so that when I actually do see a progress picture and I think I look good, I'm in the worst situational lighting possible.
Yeah.
Right? So you're guaranteed to look good when you go out. But it's tough. If you're not seeing what you want to see in your progress pictures, just means there's more work to do, and that's okay. Because Bobby, you especially, you're not where you were when you started way back, right? You made progress, you kept it, you had some medical issues, you dealt with them, but you didn't completely regress and go backwards either. So there's a lot of circumstances that play into that, and you haven't taken 20 steps backwards. You're just not where you thought you would be at this point, and that's okay. None of us are. And we talked about life is hard. Life is effing hard. You're gonna get hit with bills or hurricanes down here, or somebody's gonna lose a job. Somebody's gonna get injured. Somebody's gonna get sick. Something's going to happen. It's
Stupid
probably
brain
not. Right? Right? I mean, you know, it's like we had a family member that is in the family, and one of her actual blood family members got sick. And it went a lot quicker than expected. Guys, shit happens. Sometimes that shit's bigger than others, but it's never gonna be perfect. And no matter what you see in your progress photos, you may not be happy, and that's okay. You in particular, Bobby, because I worked with you before, you are not where you were. So you haven't regressed all the way back, and now wherever you are, you just keep moving forward. That's it. That's all it's
Where our
about.
feet are,
Yep.
make
Just
our
be a little
progress.
better. Little bit better. Nell said, Heath and I had this conversation and is the reason he's now part of the Finn fam. He thought he had a grasp on nutrition but needed a different perspective. Hence the Twinkie question today. I love it. I hope he got a good answer. We were driving home from a jiu-jitsu seminar when that popped up. So hopefully he got a great answer. If not, I will double check. But
yeah,
man, eat the Twinkie. If it fits, eat the Twinkie. Snip it for you, Heath, if you're still in here. Foods are not healthy or unhealthy. People are healthy or unhealthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll touch on that too in the comments if it hasn't been hit already.
Yeah.
Trisha said, becomes a slippery slope. There's a lot of things in there that can be a slippery slope, so I'm not sure which one you were referring to, but there are a lot. So
there are many slippery slopes.
There are.
I guess it comes back to like recognizing which slopes are very slippery for you. The things that are slippery for Anne are not going to be slippery for Tasha, that are not going to be slippery for Amy, that might not be slippery for Trisha. No one gets to determine which slopes are slippery for you.
slippery slopes.
Yeah. But again, that's that honesty with self and figuring out, you know, which things do you have traction with and which ones are real slick. So
we're going to make that. We need to make that a thing. Find your traction.
Find your traction.
Danielle said, I'm here, but we'll catch the replay since I'm at the end. Hello. You're good. We'll put the replay up. Don't even sweat it. Ian said, my wife says I'm extra. Listen, we're all a little extra. You put your extra out on blast a lot more than a lot of us. That's all. Some people are real quiet about how extra they are.
Yeah.
And bless your wife. I'll tell you that much. I'm kidding. I'm joking with you, Ian. I promise.
Oh, man.
Yep. There's Heath. Nell does a great job of helping me realize when I'm being an asshole. I have a hard time switching out of asshole mood when coming home.
Yes. My former husband and I, we used to call it an asshole check. Are you being an asshole right now? Like, you know, as I'm in this situation, am I the asshole? Is this person or is this situation, like, is this just super jodido or am I being the asshole? And that was something that we really prided ourselves on being able to be like, his name was Josh, you know, hey Josh, this is a new problem. And he'd be like, got it. Okay. And then, you know, him to me too, you know, sometimes I will be the first to say, sometimes I am the problem. The ability to feel safe with the people that you trust so that, you know that you can have that conversation and be like, oh, this is a you problem. And you know that they're coming from a place of love and a place of safety and a place of trust, that they're looking out for your best interest. Like, you can't buy that.
Yeah.
You know, so like when you find it, it's awesome.
Hold on to it, man. It's cool too, Heath, that if she does a great job of bringing up, that you also do a great job of taking that in and stopping and going, I am being an asshole. And, you know, maybe you need to be for a few minutes and then you can deal with whatever's going on. But the fact that she can bring it up and you can internalize it and take it and do something with it, that's hard.
That's off to both of you.
Yeah.
That's off to both of you. Heck yeah.
Ian said, Heath Schaefer, same. Check out the book, The Challenges of Firefighter Marriage by Anne and Mike Gagliano. That's cool. It relates in all ways to military, cops, and fire, and switching from type A communication with a bunch of A types to to being a loving partner. So that could be a whole nother topic for a whole nother live call.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could be here on, we'll do that another day.
And that's true, though. There are a lot of fire, Leo, military, both active and retired in here, and it requires a certain personality the majority of the time. And being around that personality for so long and coming home to someone who is not that personality, you have to switch how you act and how you speak and how you hold yourself and your mannerisms, and that's tough. So that's good reference, definitely.
For sure.
There's Heath backing it up. Type A to type A is a rough environment, and sometimes I get stuck. It sounds like a solid book suggestion. It would be worth it to be better recognizing when I'm not transitioning. Sorry, my brain got stuck on a word for a second.
For sure. Well, that was, again, I was military and my former husband was military. And so we would do the thing, each of us would deploy. And so you'd get these like several months at a time where it's type A to type A. And I don't care about your feelings. Here's what I need done. And then you get home and it's, the transition back to like, that's not how I speak to my spouse. And there's so much to it. And this was actually something I was talking to Kim about, like how much harder it is to be the one that's at home. Because when you're gone, there's a job to do, and like when you're home, it's like, what is my role? So, I mean, there again, we'll just pencil this entire topic in for another
Yeah,
time.
man, if y'all want to get on that one on one of the next lives, I'm sure we definitely can, because that's a huge conversation.
Yes, big
I
facet.
know Ian answered, that's exactly what the book's about. My wife and I went to see her. Wow, and hear her speak as well. Fantastic assist for both of us to understand the differences we each hold. It sounds like it's awesome. And the fact that you guys went
Awesome.
and heard her speak is very cool.
Very cool.
Solid.
Love it.
Murphy said I gave Heath an amazing answer, if I do say so myself. Murphy, I have no doubt, girl. You're a pro at this point. You are like one of the OGs, and you got this. I'm sure you answered the Twinkie question perfectly. And Mur Oh, see? There it is. Murphy, yes, eat the damn Twinkie.
Love it.
Eat the Twinkie. Foods are not healthy or unhealthy. People are unhealthy or unhealthy. Eat the Twinkie. Enjoy it. I hope it's amazing and everything you wanted from a Twinkie.
Heck yeah.
Man, guys, so if y'all have questions, we're kind of in a good like free-for-all spot. So if anybody in here has questions for me, for Coach Tasha, for anything at all, drop it in there, let us know, and we'll jam on it. Otherwise, eventually, I'm gonna go sit with the pork chop as he whines on the floor while it continues to rain.
I'm
It
gonna
should
eat
be
some
done
oatmeal.
raining soon. Whoa, yeah, we got dinner going on too, and it's date night tonight. We're doing a date night.
Oh, yes.
Eating the popcorn, accepting the popcorn bloat because F the scale.
Heck yeah.
Because popcorn's good. And I like it.
Woo-hoo! Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I am not having a date night, but my man cub is home. I had to learn the hard way to turn it off when I got home from work.
Yep, so this one says Facebook user. I don't know who that was. If you want to drop your name, you can. We'll address it towards you. If not, click the link next time. The links are expiring, so if you've already clicked it, don't freak out. They expire every now and then, so sorry.
Okay. Clickety
Gabby,
click.
learning to turn it off when you get home. So we were a little different. Jonathan and I were both on shift on the same days, usually outside of, once a month, but it was I don't know that there was ever too much of a switch to turn off for me. I'm less type A than Jonathan is, for sure. I am less confrontational. I am, yeah, I'm usually the I'm the quieter one. I am calm most of the time. Yeah, so it wasn't too hard type A's coming home to each other. Now, I did come home and continue to call him dude because after 24 hours with 11 guys in a station, come home and call your husband dude. Dude, guess what? But yeah, it's okay, David Zach.
Yeah.
Perfect. So he said I was really bad about talking to my kids as if they were the inmates when they got to trouble. So yeah, David Zach works works with inmates, and that's a
Corrections
tough
officer,
one.
for
Yes.
sure.
Your spouse is hard enough to talk to, but talking to your kids in a way that you would normally talk to the inmates, that's a tough one too. So, but learning to turn it off is a good skill to have. So I'm glad that hopefully, you learned to shut it down.
Yeah, and we're all works in progress.
Oh yeah.
There's never a point where you're like, I got this. I have arrived. In fact, if you ever think that you have, I assure you that you have an asshole lens on right now, and you should probably readdress. Like that's my little nuggie of wisdom is if you ever think that you have arrived, you have not, I assure you.
There's always something. There's
Always something.
always something. Physically, mentally, emotionally, there's always something that you could do better, be better at. Always. Jonathan likes to say, you are either getting better or you're dying. There's always something to work to get better at, or you've given up and you're dying. That's, again, his type A is different than mine, so yeah, he's a little tougher, but it's true. Poppy said this was perfectly timed, and she followed it with popcorn and M&Ms. Ooh.
Ooh, I love that salty
Nice.
sweet.
That sounds good.
Love the salty sweet.
Stephanie's gonna go feed the crazies. Have a great rest of the weekend. You too, girl. We're wrapping it up, so you won't miss anything. Don't worry.
Nope, yeah.
Oh, Jessica said, I'm missing a lot of content. I'm running errands in and out of stores. Adulting sucks sometimes. It does, but the replay will be up, I promise. So you can
Yep.
always go back and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan is the male version of me, and Anne, you are the female version of Greg. We totally understand you two. So it was funny. When we met at Disney, we met up with Murphy and Greg at Disney, and we spent the day with them. And you meet some people, and you're like, I could spend all day every day with these people. Like, they're just awesome, and they get me, and they're just comfortable. That was us. And I totally called this when we got in the car. I said, Jonathan, you're a lot like Murphy. A lot. And you are. Like, we are a matched pair, opposites. Like, that's too funny.
Fun.
Totally
So
understand.
fun.
Jessica said, I don't know what you mean. I have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Girl, we're gonna talk. You
Okay.
Jessica, are you coming to bagels tomorrow? I'll send Jonathan with some mangoes. Side note.
Cool.
Emily is joining. Oh, from the Outer Banks. Nice.
Ooh, enjoy.
She just had Wahoo with pineapple salsa. Girl, that sounds good. Ooh, jealous. Man.
Yeah.
Dude, guys, thank you so much for hanging in with us. There are a lot of you here that hung out with us for quite a while, so we appreciate it. We love you
Yeah.
all very much. If you have more topics for the next time we do this, we're gonna try to do more coaches' corners. So we're gonna get the girls on here. Maybe we'll snag some of the guys eventually, when they're not busy. And let us know if you want to hear anything or talk to any of the coaches in particular, and we'll see what we can do to make it happen. But Coach Tasha, thank you so much. I love
Thank
you.
you for
We'll
having
be
me.
seeing
I
you
love your
soon.
presentation. I know
Yes. Let's know.
it's
It's coming. 2 weeks, we get all the hugs.
so
But
many snuggles.
I know. I'm so excited. All the hugs, all the snuggles. It's gonna be a good time.
So good.
Y'all, we love you. Thank you for hanging in with us. Thank you for being first in, and we will talk to you very soon. Y'all have a good night.
Bye.